got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N, or tweet me at Bruce Salin. The next segment of our show is Family Financial Matters with Jim Scheinberg. Jim Scheinberg is the managing partner at North Pier Fiduciary Management. He has been advising institutions and families on their investments for over 20 years. And he has been my personal and family's financial advisor for almost that long as well, so I can offer my personal endorsement without question. Welcome to the show, Jim, live and in studio.
It's good to be here, Bruce.
I am happy you are here. For those that didn't hear the previous segment, we had a little bit of humor going on between us.
Now I know what you say about me before I get on the phone every week.
Well, that would teach you to listen for the whole show prior. So I chose this topic specifically for you since I knew you were going to be in studio. The idea of delayed gratification could not be more relevant, in my opinion, to investing, money, issues, families, and I'd like to kind of let you run with it as you wish.
I'm just surprised that you didn't get a new sponsor this week. They've got that obnoxious commercial where the people scream at you, "It's my money and I want it now," right? I mean, that's unfortunately one of the problems when it comes to finance that we have in the world today, is that there is this sense of a need of immediate gratification. A lot of people could say that you could have traced the seeds of some of the problems of the housing bubble to the lack of people saving up for a house or buying,
or expecting to buy a house and have it double in value in a few years.
Right, exactly.
So therefore, they don't have to afford it.
They couldn't afford
it
yet.
Right.
Exactly. And so, but there was that I don't need to save, and I can have that bigger house in the nicer neighborhood now, and I don't have to save up for the down payment. I don't have to wait until I make more money because
I don't have to have a nest egg,
right,
in case something happens for a rainy day, as our parents used to say, save for a rainy day.
Well, in Southern California, as you know, it never rains. But I'm not quite sure what happened in the center of the country where it rains all the time. Those people didn't have any rainy day funds set aside either.
Well, at the height of the housing bubble, weren't we at a negative savings rate for the first time almost ever?
Yeah, it had been for a few years, a negative 2% savings rate. That's
okay, just so you
impressive.
Understand what we're saying, that means people spent more money than they took in by incurring debt on top. So they spent every nickel of their earnings and more.
Yeah. There's no question that when it comes to major purchases, and I certainly heard you and Wayne talking about the gentleman, the supposed gentleman who would walk into his office and talk to him, drive up in the Porsche and the nice watch and the fancy clothes. The one thing you guys forgot to talk about is that gentleman may also be broke.
That you always tell me that. You always tell me that on the surface you think somebody is living a life, and just like you don't know how happy somebody really is if you're not in their bedroom, you absolutely have no idea about their finances because you can put on a display that is completely unreal.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, in Los Angeles, I think it's probably a little bit more of a norm than it is in a lot of other more hopefully conservative parts of the country. But certainly, I mean, look, we went through a change in the vernacular back in the 70s. MasterCard wasn't a credit card. It was actually called MasterCharge, right? And so it we actually
That's interesting.
Yeah. And actually the difference back then was there was a charge card versus a credit card. And so we changed the vernacular and the terminology to call it a credit card because it used to be that you could swipe that little piece of plastic and then the bill would come and you would pay it instead of defer. And I mean, it's the inverse of delayed gratification. It's delayed payment.
And of course, now our politicians talk about taxes as investments.
Right.
It's another
right.
change of yes. words. We're going to invest in our country. We're going to encourage people to invest when, in fact, all they're doing is potentially raising taxes. Yeah. So this idea of repurposing language and money and gratification has been destructive. In Europe right now, they riot over not getting enough vacation time and not being able to retire at age 52. the sense of entitlement that the welfare state has created in Europe is why they're having as many financial problems as they are. And sadly, without getting into politics, why we are facing some of them now, but fortunately not on the level of a Greece or Spain or some of the other countries there.
Well, politicians and companies that offer consumer products both prey on this immediate gratification. That's a chord that they strum like the greatest maestro would lead a symphony. And
you promised me immediate rewards, didn't you?
Well, absolutely, and I brought you a candy bar, which actually reminds me of an interesting study. You know, they came out with – there's a lot of work that's been done in the last 10 years, groundbreaking work in behavioral finance. They basically have stopped looking at the way people invest and started looking at why they spend and invest. And so they did a two-part study of where they offered a group of workers at a company – a choice for a snack between a banana and a candy bar. Mm-hmm. And approximately 3/4 of the people who were offered that snack chose the
banana.
we wish they chose the banana, but they chose the candy
bar. Actually, the first thing I was thinking of is a chocolate-dipped banana.
Well, and I that's why
both.
You're the innovator and you want it now.
I want it both and I want it now.
Exactly.
Frozen chocolate-dipped banana, please, Jim, right now.
The interesting thing that happened was when they offered another group of similar employees the same option, but instead of offering them the snack today, they asked them what snack they would want in a week. The ratios flipped. 3/4 of the people chose the banana because if it wasn't an immediate gratification, people made better choices for themselves. They said, oh, well, I want to pick something that's healthy and didn't necessarily play on their emotion. It played on their intellect. And so they got to bring their intellect into the equation.
Is that the bottom line of why you wanted to bring this up? That the when given that choice, they went for the sweet thing, the unhealthy thing, and the same thing applies to money. When you make an instant decision, you're often not making a wise one.
Absolutely, and as Wayne said when he was talking, sometimes
quit
when you
quoting
have these,
Wayne.
Well, he had a great session this week, and I was here to listen to it. So he's right on the money. And
Wayne Payne.
I want to validate it because it's true. Right on the money.
I'm sorry.
We should really change our topic.
Yes.
So, you know, really, Bruce, what it comes down to is that when it comes to issues of money, we really should take our time, wait a moment, seek external advice and counsel. It doesn't mean they make the decisions for you, but certainly bounce things off of people like your tax attorney or your financial advisor or just a good sage, third party like a friend. And just that moment of pause can help you make more intellectually based decisions instead of emotional decisions.
And certainly you don't want to react to scare tactics that are in the news. This is a family show. So how does all this relate to kids in your mind, Jim?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of ways it relates to kids, obviously, in terms of the way you would teach your children these same principles that you would hopefully practice as a family. But one of the interesting things that we're seeing now is, and as you probably know, throughout my career, we've had over 100 interns run through my departments in my company. And we saw a major shift over the last few years of instead of these college graduates or pre-college graduates going on to work at big consulting firms and large organizations, a lot of them have taken that same frustration that you've mentioned about not being able to find a job or having to live at home. And they're now doing risky things with them. So instead of taking the long road and building experience and credibility and a resume, a lot of them are doing startups. A lot of them are taking chances and doing a .com startup or something along those lines. So we don't know how that's going to play out. That may be a really good thing because we have entrepreneurs.
We do know how it's going to turn out. Some will succeed and most will fail,
right?
Like all small businesses.
Right. That's absolutely right.
Listen, Jim, we're out of time, so please tell my listeners how they can get more of your wisdom directly.
By all means, reach out to us at info@npier.com. That's info@npier.com. You can also find us on Bruce's website, There's a direct link to that as well.
The reason to write to info@npr.com is to get their newsletter, which is an invaluable aid and is that third-party feedback that you should know about. It is time for another break. This is the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. We'll be right back with some closing remarks by your host.
The truth is I never left you all through my wild days, my mad existence. I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance.